Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to share this space and this energy with me, with this show, with the amazing guests that come on the show. I just had somebody tell me today that they listened to it on the replay on their daily walk. And that just makes me so happy. So first I want to give a shout out to my people back in Atlanta, Georgia, Angels Among Us Pet Rescue. They are my group. They are working really hard to combat the worst thing that happens at Christmas. Not, well, there's a lot of terrible things that happen at Christmas, but for animal rescue, a lot of people take their lifelong pets and they take them to the shelter and leave them there to die while they leave with their new puppy. And it's the worst thing somebody could possibly do to an animal. And animal rescues right now all around the country in America are scrambling to save these dogs, especially the senior dogs, especially these left alone and neglected dogs, so that they can watch their owner leave the shelter with a puppy. I just have to put that out there. It just is something that breaks my heart. It's been harder and harder to get on social media because I see so many of the animals in need, and it's tough. Now, I have to tell you, you guys that know, I have moved from America to the island of Malta, and I am here right now. It's live right now. And in California, it's 10 a.m. In the East Coast in America, it's 1 p.m., and here in Malta, it's 7 p.m. In Malta, they have a massive cat population that roam the streets and run free, and you would not believe how kind people are to these animals. You see people taking a walk, and a cat will run out and run up to the person, and they'll pull cat food out of their pocket and stop and put it in front of the kitty. Or today, there were two cats at our lunch right on the beachside, and we fed them some of the food, and the restaurant owners are very kind to the cats. And they even have a feline park here that has a bunch of cat houses where the cats can go and gather and sleep safely. It's really beautiful to be in a place where the people naturally treat the animals with love and kindness and don't shove them into the shelter and then kill them after a 48-hour stray hold. So I wanted to just give that love and be grateful. And hopefully those of you that are listening and you have your lifelong pets, hopefully you're very good to them. Okay. Now I'm jumping into the show All About Healing. We have an incredible guest with us today. Her name is Kim Chesney, and she's the author of the newest book, Radical Intuition. It's not her only book. She also has a book, The Psychic Workshop, a complete program for fulfilling your spiritual potential. She also has a couple of free downloads or free mini ebooks on her website, so we'll go over that as well. But the newest book, Radical Intuition, a revolutionary guide to using your inner power. And don't we need that right now? Kim Chesney, welcome to All About Healing. I'm glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
I didn't mean to be the downer to open up the show, but it just is so, it's such an important little topic. So I want to go into radical intuition because I do everything from my gut. If my body and if I get that hit, I'm in. If I get that hit to stay away, there's nothing you can say to me to put me in the room with whoever it is or whatever it is. I'm out. So I don't think that's as common as I would like to believe. So how did you become the writer of this particular subject?
Well, it's sort of been a lifelong obsession, to tell you the truth. I think since I was a little kid, I've just had a propensity for intuition and really have been intrigued by it and its mysteries and trying to really make sense of it in a no-nonsense way. I've worked in technology for the past 20 years. I've worked with some of the biggest tech companies in the world. So it's a really interesting amalgamation of innovation and ingenuity and intuition and how all of these things are really coming together, both for our personal development and also really for the progress and change that we're seeing in the world right now in terms of our growth and, technological innovation. So it, for me, it really started out as a personal journey and really became something much bigger, something that really applied to all of us in the way we're all living and creating our future as humanity.
There has to be a point. There has to be that hit where you realize not just that you have found your own space, but that you want to dedicate your life and your teachings to helping other people do the same. Can you take me to that place?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, one of the aspects of intuition is our calling, right? We all sort of have different callings throughout our life, and really that calling is our intuition or our higher sort of part of ourself that knows that we have something to provide the world and a service to give and meaning to this life. So really following those callings is so important. You know, we hear people say, oh, you know, go with your gut, follow your dreams. Well, we're really talking about following that inner guidance, that inner voice that's really guiding us towards our path and our purpose. So for me, you know, knowing that this intuition was really something that I couldn't step away from. And even as I was working when I was younger on a very personal level with intuition and the spirituality and all of that aspect of it, it really started to pull me into this other part of life with technology and the arts and creativity. And at some point, I wasn't sure how it was ever going to come together. I was like, these are both two sides of intuition, but, you know, how does it ever, you know, how does these two very different expressions of it come together? And that's really what ended up happening with Radical Intuition, when I really wanted to look at the big picture of intuition and understand all of its many different manifestations, whether it's through our personal life or through the way we create or the way we relate to each other or the way that, you know, we understand our place in the universe. So it really has a lot of different expressions in the way we live every day of our life.
As a child, were you intuitive?
Yeah, you know, it's always artistic for one thing. I think, you know, the arts are one of the most concrete expressions of intuition. It's something that we can actually see and hold, and so it's real. But, you know, there's so many other parts of intuition that are very ephemeral, so it's hard for people to understand it. So a lot of kids, when they're young and they have good imaginations and they're very creative, a lot of intuitive impulses are misunderstood or pushed down, and I think that's something that we're working on changing now and really working with the younger generations to really foster and nurture this intuitive side. And yeah, I think we're all to a degree very intuitive, and I think the world really works pretty hard to condition that out of us. At least it has in my generation and our, you know, the older generation. So, you know, I like to see this change happening where, you know, creativity is something that is really embraced and fostered in children more than it has been in the past.
Now, I noticed on your website that you have worked with Carnegie Mellon in presenting your work. I would love to hear how, because you were saying it was really hard to understand how to kind of merge all the things that you were interested in and then turn it into something tangible. So there had to be something really exquisite that would make Carnegie Mellon say, yeah, come on, come and teach us.
Yeah.
Like what? Give me how, because people that are listening right now, first of all, we have to go two different ways, but don't let me get too off track. I do want people to really, by the end of this show, have the beginning steps into their own awareness and intuition and learning how to trust whatever that is and how it comes to them. Because I do believe in a lot of ways people that have a strong intuition feel it much the same way, but there is no one way that you are in tune and feeling the inner guidance, if you will.
Right.
But take me to the Carnegie Mellon thing. How did you do that?
Yeah, well, I think it all really came back to this root of sort of living with both sides of our brain. So, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, being smart, intellectual, and, you know, we go to school and get PhDs, you know, but there's also this other side of our brain, this creative side of our brain, this intuitive side of our brain that really is our link to our inner genius, so to speak. So Carnegie Mellon and the work that they were doing at the Entertainment Technology Center was truly groundbreaking back in the time about 10 years ago when I started doing this work with them, with this idea of that we need to train and teach both sides of our brain, and it's very important. So some of the curriculum requirements they started to instill in their students is computer science students would have to take art classes, art students would have to take computer classes. Simple things with these things that were traditionally siloed, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're in this information place, or you're in this creative place. But now we're like, no, the real secret to genius and success and all this good stuff that awaits in the future is using both sides of our brains together in these extraordinary ways. So they were really on to something. And so I was working at the Pittsburgh Technology Council at the time and was working with our CEO there, and we came up with this idea of creating an initiative around merging these two expressions of our sort of cognitive faculties, whether it was intuitive expression or intellectual expression. So we started this initiative to bring the arts and technology and innovation and intuition and the intellect all together with a big festival and, you know, initiatives. And I started a business incubator where I fostered companies that were working in this space. So it really turned into this big economic development movement, and it just really took off. And, you know, Carnegie Mellon supported my work there for many years through grants, and I worked with many professors there, met some really amazing people, super, super smart people who really get intuition and also, you know, get, you know, how important it is to use our intuition to support all of the, you know, intellectual capacities that we've risen to over the centuries. So it's been a really exciting journey.
That is freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
We talk about being at the right place at the right time, because that is not something that you could walk in and do.
No, it was totally intuition, and that's the thing I always say, too. Like, I did all of that following my intuition, like you were saying. Like, I went with my gut, and I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I didn't have advanced degrees and, you know, uplifting new sectors of the economy. Like, that wasn't my specialty, but my intuition really just allowed me to get in there and do this extraordinary work. And, you know, I was invited to speak all over the world, and I was elected to the American for the Arts Advisory Council for this kind of work. So it was a really amazing journey.
Okay, wow. See, that's amazing. Now, I want to go to the most basic thing in the whole world, and don't laugh when I ask this question, and I'm asking it because there's going to be somebody that's listening to the show that's asking it. So I'm asking it. Give me your interpretation of what intuition is.
So the simple answer to that question is, the actual, you know, just an actual experience of intuition is simply put a thought, feeling, or sensation or experience that arrives to you out of nowhere. Okay, so think about that in terms of it's something that you simply receive, something that simply comes to you, something that comes to mind, an epiphany, an insight, a solution to a problem, a bit of guidance, a calling, a feeling, so that a knowing, right? So there's all these different ways that intuition comes to you, right? So that's literally what it is. So it's not something we manufacture. We don't have to make a pros and cons list to understand our intuition. Intuition is about getting your mind out of the way and tuning into that guidance and that intellect that is no mind, the kind that just comes to you, that just shows up. So, and what that is, if we want to take it a step further, depends really on your understanding of the universe. You know, Paramahansa Yogananda said that intuition is the soul's power of knowing God. So if you want to look at it from a spiritual perspective, our intuition is, you know, like the Holy Spirit, is our connection to that is beyond, the higher power, the higher self within all of us that guides us from an all-knowing place. If you want to look at that from a, you know, more technological or practical sense, you could also look at it as being able to tap into, you know, the all-knowing data of the universe. All the world is data and information, and our intuition is our ability to download that information, you know, really stuff that our mind just can't access. So it really is our ability to open up to something that arrives from a place beyond us and gives us guidance and information and understanding that we need to live our best lives.
All right, now I'm going to go further. I used to think, until I was listening to your definition, that I could interchange, in a lot of ways, the word intuition with instinct. But listening to yours, it's not exactly. So in the way I'm feeling it is like intuition is something you can almost reach out and grab and pull in. And the instinct is something, in my opinion, that comes from inside you. Like, tell me, like, do you feel like they're extremely intertwined, but maybe not the same, but work together?
No, this is such a good question, and, you know, I write a little bit about it in the book, too, because there is an important distinction between intuition and instinct. And, you know, a lot of times it just comes down to semantics. It's okay to use the term gut instinct and apply to intuition. Like, we know what people are talking about when they do that. But ultimately, if you really want to think about the difference between an instinct and intuition, the difference is, like you started to say, intuition is something that comes to us from above, from a place of higher consciousness and higher awareness. You know, we talk about these levels of consciousness. We have, like, consciousness, higher consciousness, and we also have unconsciousness. And unconsciousness is this kind of place that a lot of us live a good part of our life in. And it doesn't mean that we're totally asleep or literally unconscious, but it does mean that we're being affected unconsciously by forces from our past experiences, from our conditioning, from, you know, what everyone else tells us about us. All of this outside input that we've internalized creates instincts. for instance, a great example is like, you know, if you were dating someone and they hurt you, then you might have an instinct the next time to avoid certain things so you don't have that pain again. So these kind of instincts happen, but they're as a result of something that's happened to you in your life. Whereas intuition comes from something that it doesn't necessarily have had to happen to you at all. It's something that comes from a bigger place, a higher place, above, in a place of higher consciousness. So when you get an intuition, when you have an intuitive experience, you actually become more conscious and more present of what you're doing. Your awareness increases. But oftentimes, when we act on instinct, we don't know why we're doing it, right? We're just having a reaction, and that really is something that we need to wake up to more and understand why we're doing things a little bit more.
I like this. Now I'm going to take it one step further, and this is, I'm not trying to put you on the hot spot. I'm just trying to actually understand the difference between all of them. So as you're saying all this, I don't know if you are familiar with the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, but one of the things that she talks about is that back before the Renaissance age, they used to say, you have a genius. Not you are a genius, but that you have a genius, that you have a spiritual entity that downloads into you. So when you do whatever creative work, it's not necessarily just your work. It's from your genius. It's the work together. And then they changed the way that we approach looking at, because then we became less open to the idea that we have, you know, spiritual energies around us that help us, and instead it all became you. But I'm really fascinated by the intuition, the way that you are presenting it, because I like this very much, with you have a genius. How different or similar or what kind of feelings do you feel when I bring this up to the energy behind the two? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I really honestly think that, again, these are sort of aspects of the process that different people might be more comfortable assigning different roles in that whole thing. So, you know, I'm reluctant to say one way or the other how that works, because some people might feel more comfortable saying that, you know, I have a guide or a teacher who's with me. And other people might be more comfortable just saying, well, this is a part of me and this is part of who I am. And really both are right, because ultimately we are all part of this universe and we're all everything. So I'd say that they're both are right. And really it's a matter of what you're comfortable with and how you're comfortable getting into that intuitive place, and how that puts you in a place of power, right? So as long as it's not something you're afraid of, and that's the key, because we've been taught so long to be afraid of intuition because it's mysterious, it's something we don't understand. We've had all these wives' tales associated with it, and none of it's true. I mean, the only way you're going to get yourself in trouble with intuition is if you try to go into some deep, dark place, which you know, regular people don't function that way. So really, this is that we've been conditioned out of using our intuition for whatever reason throughout history. So this really now is the time to come back and rebalance these two sides of our brains. And in order to do that, we all have to really step back into that power and get comfortable with it and realize that our intuition is our best friend. It can't steer us wrong. It was built to guide us to all those great things that we really want to experience in life and how we want to make this world better and serve in our own way. So aligning with that, and knowing that it's there to serve us in a healthy way, regardless of how you understand it, as long as it happens, that's what really matters.
Wow. I love that. You are, you know, I really appreciate the way that you answered that, because you really took the middle road of, you know, I might see it this way, but I'm not going to take away the way somebody else might interpret it, because I don't want to minimize their own power. That's
exactly
how I took it with your answer. It's very, very well done. A politically correct answer in a spiritual space. This is very well done. And hard to do, I have to say. And I find that fascinating, because I can hear the technology and the advancement and the different ways that you view things in the way that you speak, which is very cool and interesting with the synergy that you have created. I know we're like very close to a commercial break, so I don't want to open up a new conversation, but right now I want you to give your website so people can find you.
Yeah, you can get my free Wake Up Your Intuition guide if you're into start doing this right now at kimchesney.com. And yeah, that's a great place to start.
That is perfect. All right. I knew that it was time for a commercial break, and I didn't want to open it up and then put you on the hot seat and then, oh, where is it? So you guys that are listening, we're on with Kim Chesney. She is the author of the newest book, Radical Intuition, A Revolutionary Guide to Using Your Inner Power. You guys are listening to All About Healing. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. If you are a first-time listener because you love Kim Chesney and so you're tuning in and you've never heard of me or my show, I first want to say welcome, thank you, and please come back. Okay, so the word radical with intuition I find very eye-opening and catchy, and I think that the word radical itself is very strong. So I want to talk about even just how you came up with radical intuition.
Yeah, and you know, this is something when we were working on naming the book, I was working with the publishers and at New World Library and my editors, and we wanted to really come up with, you know, a title that reflected that this wasn't your everyday intuition book. And I've had so many people say, oh, you know, I picked up this book, and I thought, okay, great, you know, another book on intuition, because there's a lot of them.
Right.
And they realized that this was nothing like any other intuition book that they've ever read, because this is a real sort of reimagining of intuition. This is part of a bigger sort of understanding of intuition in terms of, like what I was saying earlier, a real impact on humanity and our sort of growth and transformation and evolution as human beings. So this sort of broad brush we use to create this understanding of the many different types of intuition and how it's so important to rebalance our thinking really sort of culminated in this idea of radical. And what makes it so radical is when we actually start to do this, when we actually start to practice this practice of listening to that other part of our mind, of starting to honor that inner voice as much as we've honored our thinking mind, life starts to change. Things are different. You can't live the same way anymore because you are living with this sense of insight that's guiding and is going to take you in different directions and really take you back to who you are and help you understand your purpose in this world. And when you start to live by your truth and stand for that truth, you can't live the same way. You have to step into your power. You have to step up. You have to do these things. So it becomes this radical process of inner change. And this inner change, you know, as the saying always goes, you know, the change starts within. This inner change is what starts to make the difference in the little things that you do in your life every day, and then the little things that other people who you touch do, and it creates this ripple effect that actually can actually bring real sweeping change into the world.
You know, there is a reason that you wrote the book when you did, and that it's coming out, you know, now. When did it release?
On election day.
Woo! Okay, hello energy. That actually gave me chills.
Yeah.
So this is, we are coming into the age of Aquarius, which is a 2,000 year cycle. We're leaving the old cycle and coming into a new, and it's opening up the creative expression, and people are, the world as an energy is in the midst of enormous shifts. Now it doesn't take a genius to figure that out because we're also in a pandemic. And everybody is changing, and the elections are changing, and the rule of law is changing, and the people that are, you know, coming in, and all those things are happening now. The earth is shifting, and it's shaking things up in a huge way. So outside of ourselves, it's all happening. But you have been writing this book and getting us prepared for the shift and the shake and the rattle that's happening within, potentially as a response to the outside, but not only as a response to the outside, but potentially to help us to arm us and help us understand as these radical shifts begin to take place. But I just put that out there, but I want to hear your interpretation of this book right now in this time. People that are listening, why do you think that this is the time for them to read something like that?
Yeah, well, amen. I couldn't have said it better. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I've been working on this book for 10 years, and this idea of this intuition revolution has just been sort of haunting me. It's been there in the background. I've been talking about this. I've actually been writing articles and blogs about it for the past 10 years, but it's really interesting. I never expected, honestly, never expected it to become so actively tied into reality at the moment that this book came into being, because there is such a revolutionary energy in so many ways that we're dealing not, you know, I'm not even saying like politically necessarily, but in so many different ways with this time and this moment in history, that we have so much growing to do right now. So it's, to me, it has really been this process of manifestation that's culminated now in this time that really has been going on for the last 10 years. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that this is a book that teaches you how to adapt with the times, not just adapt with them, but to actually lead the way for the future, and to be an early adopter, and to really start that wave, and to, instead of, you know, having to keep up with other people and getting caught behind, you're there, you're at the forefront of this new way of understanding the world. So it is an innovative book, it's a radical book. It's a book that makes some people uncomfortable because, you know, there's people who, you know, aren't sure about intuition. You know, I every day I work against the stereotypes with intuition that have been, you know, conditioned into us for many years. But once people open their minds and they understand that it's not necessarily some woo thing that has to be, you know, you have to look in your crystal balls and use tarot cards, that it's actually something that you have within you and that you can develop just like you develop your thinking mind, and people get it. And they're like, oh my gosh, why haven't we been doing this sooner? And that's the question, you know, why? Why haven't we been doing this for centuries?
Well, can I put you on the spot then and ask you to begin, so people that are listening walks away with a concrete beginning? Can you take us through, are you allowed, or is this a comfortable thing, to go ahead and help us to enter the first step in?
Yeah, I mean, well, I can just tell you really simply the first step to listening to your inner voice is really slowing down so you can hear it. We have these busy, crazy lives, and we're running around like maniacs all the time, and that's one of the reasons why we don't hear our intuition. So the first step in really opening up your intuition is to create more space for it to come through, whether you're meditating or whether you just want to, you know, go for walks or take a hot shower every day and a bath. Times for yourself are so important. And so many of us, that's one thing that we don't have. You know, it's like the world has conspired to create such busy, crazy lives that even if we wanted to hear our intuition, we don't have the time to do it. So the most important thing you can do for yourself, and this is a great time to do it because it's the new year and we're going to create New Year's resolutions, is to create time alone with yourself. Some time in stillness, some time in that space where you can start listening for those little bits of guidance and wisdom and gems of inspiration to drop in. Because they'll do that. When you get into that space, they drop in. They just come to you. And then once you get into that space, start listening. Start writing those things down. Start honoring them when you get that new idea or this, your move to do something out of nowhere and you're not quite sure why. And start doing that more and more. And then, you know, if you read the book, there's a lot of, like, kind of deeper exercises that you can start to do to really sort of cultivate that and allow that flow to come more and really understand what your intuition is telling you, because that's sort of the next level. But it all begins with moving into that stillness, right? Because stillness isn't quiet. The stillness speaks with your intuition.
I'm going to pair with you, and I'm going to add in, because my specialty is to go for the basics like we're in kindergarten. So I'm going to take it to the kindergarten level of what you just said, too, for people that are listening that still are like, okay, I try to get quiet, but I just really don't hear anything, and so it makes me crazy. So try this. Go to bed at night, ask a question. See what your answer is in the morning. These are really basic. Start with the basics. Be really simple in your approach so that you can start to identify with the feeling that approaches when you get an answer. Because I think even that, even those really basic beginner steps, we overlook them. Or how many times do we actually think, oh, what a coincidence? Well, I don't believe in coincidence, personally. My friend used to say, a coincidence is God performing a miracle anonymously.
Mm,
you know, I like
that.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, oh, because how many things, like, this is so silly and simple, but I have two children, and both of my children are incredibly shy, but my oldest is painfully shy. And we moved here sight unseen in the middle of a pandemic, starting in a new school that I wasn't even allowed to walk them into. So what do? I'm their school bus chaperone and ride to school every day with my kids so I can see where they're going because I wasn't allowed in. Because this is the kind of stuff that I do, because I can make things happen in a very important way. That other people are like, wait a minute, you're the what? You're the van chaperone? You're doing what? I ride the van every day. But we made friends. My daughter made a friend. It's great. And my daughter made a friend, and last night we had our very first meeting at a playground. And then we left, but we ended up at the same restaurant, all thinking we were all going home. And so then it was like divine, and we ended up having dinner. And now we've invited them over to our house for Christmas because neither one of us have family here. But that, to me, those little steps, if I were thinking coincidentally, oh, wow, how random. No, nothing random. Okay, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're on with Kim Chesney. We're talking about radical intuition. You're listening to All About Healing. Don't go away, everyone.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and today we have Kim Chesney on the line, and she's the author of Radical Intuition, a revolutionary guide to using your inner power. Kim, let's go over your website again and let people know if there's anything you are offering right now that you want to make sure people are aware of.
Yeah. My website is kimchesney.com, C-H-E-S-T-N-E-Y, and you can also check out my online school for intuition, intuition-lab.com, Intuition Lab, where we do all kind of fun intuition development classes and workshops and groups, and we actually have a new program called Illuminate launching in January, which is a six-week program where we gather weekly and do intuitive development together and have all kind of fun exercises and stuff. So it's a wonderful way during quarantine to make some friends and kind of find some community. So if you're looking for something like that and you're up for developing your intuition, then stop by. There's a place to sign up on my website.
Very cool. I'm glad I asked that then. So I want you to tell me about the four kinds of intuition.
Yeah. Well, and this is when we're talking about this broad brush, right? We're talking about all the different manifestation of intuition. It all culminated in this understanding is basically intuition and the four types of intuition, which, so they're not really types. There's really just one type of intuition. They're more like pathways of intuition. So, you know, one of the things I found out really early on, when you start talking to people about intuition, we sort of lacked a singular definition as to what it was. If you open up someone on the street and be like, hey, what do you think intuition is? Some people will say it's a gut feeling, or some people will say it's a knowing, or a psychic experience, or somebody else might say it's their creative inspiration, or their, you know, inner alert system. So there were so many different answers to that question. I wanted to understand what all these different manifestations of intuitions really were, and how, you know, if there was a way that they systematically function within us. And I realized that there was. These aren't just random expressions of things that pop into our head. This is really a systematic process that flows through our four cognitive functions. So it's basically based on the same kind of thing that Jung was talking about in his four cognitive functions and the Myers-Briggs. It's understanding that when we receive intuition, we're processing information the same way that we process information from the outside world, through our bodies, through our minds, through our hearts, our feelings, and through our eternal spirit and being. So that age-old sort of model of body, mind, heart, and spirit really continues as a reference point for understanding the four primary pathways our intuition uses to speak with us. So basically, in the book I also created an archetype for each of those pathways to kind of give you an understanding of really what energy each of these pathways embodies. And you know, the first type, which starts at the root, the foundation, is our bodies, right? You know, that's where we connect to the world. That's where our physical world and our energetic world comes into connection as one. So the archetype here is the healer, and the energy with physical intuition is really the ability to connect our bodies and our spiritual energy and our health and our vibrant being and wellness and all of this stuff. So so somebody who is really good with their physical intuition is someone who's really good feeling connected with their body and a healthy body. A lot of holistic practitioners, you know, yoga teachers, chiropractors, acupuncturists, even, you know, people who are into fitness or doctors in the, you know, sort of mainstream health, people who really have a connection to the inner well-being of their body are natural, physical, intuitive. Also in that category, though, follows what you asked me earlier about the five clairs. And I hear people talk about the five clairs, and, you know, are they the four types of intuition? But they're actually just part of physical intuition. Because when you think about the clairs, which are also known as your psychic senses, right? So if you don't know what the five clairs are and you're listening, the psychic senses are really your ability to process intuitive information the same way you process information from the physical world. So, for instance, you can hear a song with your ears, and you just hear a sound out there in the physical world, or you can think of a song in your head, right? Like the thought of a song, you can play the melody in your head, you can know it, right? So it's sort of an intuitive understanding of a song, which things like that, your intuition can work with you in different ways using those sort of psychic capacities or manifestations of your physical senses. So all of that stuff, all that physical stuff wrapped up into one little bundle sort of is the embodiment of this physical intuition in the many, many ways that our body speaks to us every day, whether it's through eating or through our these intuitive senses or through wellness and healthy lifestyles, all this stuff. So so that's really the foundational part of intuition. And then after that, we move into the intuition of the mind. And this is really based on how we make our decisions. This is our inner guidance system. We hear a lot of people talk about that, our inner guidance system. And the archetype for that is the sage. That's the wise one, the person who just is aligned with right choices and the right path and has that higher sense of knowing in all they do. So the wheelhouse for this is really decision-making and choicing and choice-making and following your inner guidance when you make those decisions. And then the third type of intuition is it's the intuition of the heart. You know, we talk about the heart a lot. We're not talking about those small feelings, those need-based feelings, or those want feelings. We're talking about the higher feelings, our passions, what moves us, you know, what we're called to do. All of that creative energy is the intuition of the heart. So it really comes into, I call it visionary intuition, right, because that's sort of the archetype is this creative visionary. Maybe someone like Steve Jobs who really has a big vision and ideas that can change the world. So whether you're an artist or whether you're just a regular person who's building a business or, you know, creating something new to serve your community, this creative intuition is such an important part of, you know, following that lead to make these new things a reality. And then the fourth and final type of intuition is the archetype of the mystic, and that's sort of spiritual intuition or transcendental intuition. This is that juicy sort of high-minded intuition where we connect with all that is beyond the mysteries of life and all of the wonder of existence. So spiritual experiences, metaphysical experiences, things that are unexplained, this is all the domain of this fourth type of intuition that really we have to be in this little place where we're ready to step beyond everyday life and go into these mysteries.
That's fabulous.
This is
well, I love that, and I could really feel your energy shift and glide into that super high space, you know, where I, like in my mind, I was like, oh, she's in it. She's in the group. She's got that, you know, tapped into that inner place. Now, because our segments are so short right now, everybody that does listen to my show knows that I do my very best to give you the floor to make sure that everybody that comes on the show has a message and an intention to be on the show. And I want to make sure that I don't ever step in the way of the message being delivered. So I want you to have that time and space, because I know it's going to be a commercial break and then we go with Emily's Energy Corner next. So anything that you came here to make sure people that are listening can hear, now's the time to give it to them.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, above and beyond everything, thank you, Emily, I appreciate the opportunity to really share this and to get this message out, because, you know, like I said, this has sort of been something I've been called to do. But I think what I would love for people to take away more than anything from our conversation today is just this understanding that every single one of us has intuition, that you have intuition, I have intuition, we all have it, and it's our birthright. And it's a part of us that has been latent, or that we've been conditioned out of even believing that it exists, or that it's something that's safe for us to use. So I really encourage people to open their minds to this idea of intuition and you know, what the potential is with that, and ask this question of, you know, what would our life look like if we didn't just live every day with really smart brains, really smart minds? What if we lived every day with really brilliant intuition? What if we married, and we spent 13 years going to school to become really smart? What if we spent some of that time becoming really intuitive? what will the world look like when we solve problems not just with the intellect, but when we use our intuition and this inner genius and this process of insight to take us to these new frontiers and to these places that the mind is incapable of going? These are going to be really important questions as we move into the future, because we're getting to the point with technology where the machines are already going to be smarter than us, and what is going to differentiate us from the machines and from computers and artificial intelligence and all those really big things. Right now, intuition, you know, it's the holy grail. It is that thing that stands for our humanity. So it's now more than ever, it's important that we all embrace it and experiment and push it to the boundaries so we can have the best future possible.
Wow, Kim Chesney, you were amazing. I wish you the very best and the most success with this book. Go run out there and get Radical Intuition everywhere books are sold. Thank you for being here. Don't go away, everybody. Emily's Energy Corner is coming up next.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. It's that time, Emily's Energy Corner, where I just go random and base it on something that got me thinking during the show. When I first started doing the show, I used to have plans of what Emily's Energy Corner would look like. And then I realized that through every show, I would totally get off track because of some other new thought. So now I just go with whatever comes in. And today, I started the show mentioning the animals because it's a really big deal right now. So please, if you have an animal and you're thinking about turning it into the shelter, I beg of you to give it a little bit more time or find your own beautiful home and don't give it away for free. But, you know, that's also in line with just kindness, human kindness. And right now, we need a lot more of it. Because everybody is struggling, especially everybody that's feeling really that the effects of the massive amounts of lockdown. And the struggle is real because it is real. And so the transition that we're hoping to make, it's interesting to me because I feel like everybody thinks that the second that the new year strikes, everything's going to go back to normal. Like 2020 was the year from hell, and 2021, it's all going to open up. And I understand that there's a vaccine coming, and that's great if you are one of those people that want to take it or if you're one of the people that don't. It's really neither here nor there. It's certainly not the topic of my conversation. But it's interesting to me how people really do think that all of a sudden the world is going to go back. There's no going back. There's no going back to what used to be because that doesn't exist anymore. So we have to think about the world that we are trying to create and what hand you have in that creation, because you do have the hand. You do have more of a hand than you think. And I want you to take the time between now and the New Year's Eve or whatever little time constraint you think there is, because New Year's Eve doesn't change everything at the stroke of midnight. You know, even on your birthday, people talk about that there's 30 days after your birthday that kind of the things that you were supposed to accomplish during the year, the energy kind of stays in that 30 days and then it kind of wraps up or whatever. But the truth is, if New Year's Eve is your big goal and starting 2021 differently is a big goal, then you have a very small window right now to get very clear on who you are and what you want and what you're willing to do to get what you want. Because I don't want to hear just what you want all day long. I want to hear about what part you're going to play in making it happen. And I have to tell you, that part is really, really hard. So that goes into my next little part, which is that children, the children. How many children? I just wish I could sit down all the world's children, truly, and I would love to. So if you're a children's book author or publisher, come to me. But the most important thing that I could give to my children and yours is that you are incredible people with boundless, boundless potential and truly, like, unlimited. So I didn't mean to say unboundless. I meant to say boundless and unlimited. But the potential in there is really limitless. And who you are and the strength that you have and the beautiful miracle that you are, even to be here right now in this time, it's a big deal and it's really special and valuable. But this isn't just for the children. This is for you who's listening right now, who feels really blindsided and confused and discombobulated, really, all over. I mean, the brain right now, I feel like everybody's head's kind of frizzled. You know, everybody's sort of over it. I canceled everything. The second my kids got out of school for the Christmas vacation, I am like, I even canceled the gym this morning. I don't want to be anywhere. I don't want to be held accountable right now for my time. I don't want people to tell me what to do or where to go. I just need the break. And I want to really enjoy the break. And I'm living in Malta where people take their holidays very seriously. You are not going to have a business call during holiday time. You're not going to hear back from the school. You're not going to hear back from people because when they're on holiday, they mean it. And I don't feel like we did that a lot in the United States. I feel like we blurred the lines a lot and didn't give ourselves that time and space to decompress. So today and every day up to the new year, if that's the limit that you want to do, I really encourage you to take your holiday time very seriously and to shut off some of the outside stuff. Shut off the business if you're not working. If you're not working, then don't make yourself crazy. And don't make yourself feel guilty because you're not doing more. Because right now the job is to not be at work. And it's interesting because I use the word job because it is like a job. It's like a new acquired skill that you have to work on in order to step back, turn off, unplug, close your eyes, go in the dark, get silent, get quiet, get raw. Let the discomforts arise because they will. Because you're out of your regular routine, and so now other thoughts and feelings are going to come around. Let them. Let them all come so that you can get a better idea of what that intuition really is saying to you. What those little small feelings mean. Because I do feel like a lot of people are being called to change the direction that they're currently in. And that is possible. You are allowed to change direction. You're allowed to start new. You're allowed to add something in. I feel like I've lived so many different lives in my 46 years on this planet. I've been so many different people. I've done so many different things. That sometimes I almost feel like I sound like I'm not telling the truth. But everything that I've done is completely honest. And you're allowed to have that. It doesn't mean you have to go leave your family or do something really hugely radical. It just means that let your feelings be felt. Let your thoughts be acknowledged. Let your emotions come forward and free them, you know, feel them, experience them, and then release them. Give yourself a good feel-good, you know. My book is coming out in May, Healing Ourselves Whole, and it's the work you do alone. It's the work you do that your body is holding on to, not your mind, but the muscle memory, the body systems of anything trauma or joy. I'm not just doing a trauma book. It's a joy book. It's learning that they have, your body holds on, not just to trauma, but to some of the most joyous, wonderful occasions of your life. And if you learn how to tap into those memories again inside your body, you can learn to make more of the same. I mean, how many people have gone through different parts of their life and thought, gosh, remember when I used to be happy? Remember when I used to feel free? Remember when I used to be wild and fun? Where did that person go? That person still exists. But now I teach you through the different chapters and the different meditations how to go back inside your body and create more of the same because you're re-experiencing the emotions and the feelings that are still in there from when they implanted in the first place. I just want you to embrace who you are, all of who you are, all those different experiences and emotions and expressions and feelings. Don't push them aside. Let them come up so that you can figure out in this new year, in this new time, because it is, you know, it's not just about New Year's Eve. Like I said, it's the age of Aquarius where communication and creativity is coming back to the forefront. That's a 2,000-year shift. It's finally shifting. And coming back to us, you will see major earth plays and major shifts around you. But be part of the shift, too. Don't let this just be something that you're witnessing. Be in it. Let yourself do the shift. Let yourself go to where you really, really want to be. Because life is short. We're learning this really quickly. Life is short and precious and valuable. And your life is precious. And we want you here. We want you safe and we want you healthy. You are a valuable and sacred part of this planet and of this time and of this life. You truly embrace it and be the best version of you, but not a fake version, the real version. Let that real person come through. You guys have been listening to All About Healing. I wish you the most love and healing, and I will be back in the beginning of January. Make it a great rest of the month.